God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is Sunday, the second day of October, 2011, and you're listening to our evening service. Our sermon is presented tonight by ministerial student Trevor Kelsey. It is entitled, He'll Take You Through. So thanks for listening, and we know you'll be blessed from the preaching of God's Word.
The army was closing in, enemies calling out to him. But David did not fear the shield or the sword. He made his way down to the brook. Just 5 stones was all he took. But he only needed one when he said, I come in the name of the Lord. I come in the name of the one who cannot fail. He will sustain, for his children must prevail. I'm counting on my faith, when the trial's out of reach. There's a giant in my way, I've been waiting for this day. Victory's just a stone's throw away. Tempter tries to say that there is no way. Your problems can become possibilities. But the battle's end is near, and Satan's fate is clear. He will try to run and hide with the Lord by my side. I can stand up and sing. I come in the name of the one who cannot fail. He will sustain, for his children must prevail. I'm counting on my faith, when the trial's out of reach. There's a giant in my way, I've been waiting for this day. Victory's just a stone's throw away. I come in the name of the one who cannot fail. He will sustain, for his children must prevail. I'm counting on my faith, when the trial's out of reach. There's a giant in my way, I've been waiting for this day. Victory's just a stone's throw away. Victory's just a stone's throw away.
These contraptions, I'm telling you what. Well, like I said, that sounded really good if you didn't hear me say that before. But I appreciate that. It was really good. It's very good to be back here in Ponca City. It's been a while since I've been able to come back for a whole Sunday service. It's just been a blessing to be back here. My parents told me to tell everybody hi. They do miss y'all. And just, the Lord's just been really good to them down there. And they just want me to just tell you that. Just the Lord has blessed down there in Houston. It's just been really good. And the girls are doing really good. You guys probably follow. If you're on Facebook, you probably follow some of my dad's pictures and posts. But McKenna plays soccer. And I called her the other day, and she was playing soccer. She goes, I got my first game. And I was like, are you going to play? She goes, probably not. I'm not very good. So she did play, but I don't think they won. But she had a good time nonetheless. But so just the Lord's really been doing work down there in Houston. Just continue to keep them in prayer. But it's just been so good to be back here. And just thank you, Brother Lynn and Pastor, for allowing me to come and preach this evening. I'm just very excited. I believe I have a message from the Lord. And I'm very nervous because this semester I'm taking homiletics down at college. And basically I've learned I don't know anything. I went back and looked at some of the sermons I've preached before. Like, man, what was I thinking? So, but just very excited. But taking some of these classes that I've taken, pastoral preparation with Dr. Hardy, and then with homiletics of Brother Sam Davison, and just getting my face ripped off every time and just reaffirming I don't know anything. But it just gives me a better appreciation for the pastors that I've sat under. Just the study that it takes to put into a sermon. I thank you, Pastor, for the studying time that you put into your messages, because it's just the one sermon that I prepared for tonight took me quite a while, and for him to be able to stand up here in three times a week, that's a lot of study time. Brother Gaddis down there in Southwest, he taught our homiletics classes past Friday, and he said he puts 20, 25 hours of study time in his sermons for the whole week. I'm like, that's a part-time job right there. That's alone just the preaching, the studying. That doesn't even consist of his counseling and visits and door knocking and stuff like that. So, I mean, I thank you for the time that you put in. It really, I mean, it shows, because, I mean, you feed the flock. I mean, it's just been, I'm just very thankful for that. It's given me a better appreciation for that. And it's also overwhelming because, I mean, the Lord's called me to preach, and it's like, Lord, I'm going to need you for that, because that's a big responsibility. But I'm just so thankful to be back here. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Psalm chapter 77. Psalm chapter number 77. This is the first time I've ever preached really out of Psalms. How many of you, whenever you read your Bible, like, there's been times where I've made a goal, of course, just to read my Bible every day. And I remember growing up, it's like, okay, well, I didn't read it today. I'm getting ready to go to bed. I'll read a Psalm real quick. Oh, I read my Bible all today. I mean, anybody else done that, or is it just me? Okay, just making sure it wasn't just me. But here recently, I've been reading through some of the Psalms and some of my devotions, and there's good stuff in there. And the Lord has smote my heart in one of these passages, the passage we're going to read tonight. And it's not just to read before you go to bed because you forgot to read it that day. If you go there with that attitude, then you're definitely not going to get anything out of it. But this psalm, the first time I was studying for this, I was like, well, it's in Psalms. It's got to be David. That's David, of course. But it turns out it's actually a psalm of Asaph. So that was the first thing that I learned reading through this passage. And so Psalm of Asaph, and chapters Psalm 50 and then 73 through 80, those are all psalms that are attributed to Asaph. And Asaph, he was of the tribe of Levi, and he was one of the leaders in David's choir. And I learned about this in my song leading class last week, but this choir is huge. And just thinking, me being in choir in high school, just to sit back and think about how awesome that would have been to listen to this choir. And Asaph's one of the main leaders in this choir, and just huge, and just all the vocalists and the musicians. That would have been neat to hear as someone who's been in choir before. But if we're going to take a look at the Asaph and something that's just really plaguing him right now. So if you'll just stand for the reading of God's word, we're going to begin reading in verse 1 of Psalm 77. The Bible says, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of all thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you so much, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord, to just be able to stand up here and just preach your word, Lord. It's truly an honor and a privilege to stand and just proclaim your word, Lord. But Lord, there is a big responsibility, Lord, and I just pray that you just be with me tonight, Lord. Just help me to present it in a clear way. Lord, just bless this time as we just do study your word, Lord. Just help it to penetrate our hearts, Lord, as we take a look further into this passage, God. And you're in prayer. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Okay. Have you ever gone through some time where you just feel overwhelmed? to where you just don't know what to do. Have you ever been through one of those times? There's been times in my life, I'm only 21, but I mean, there are times where, you know, I've just felt so overwhelmed. Like, God, I don't even know what I'm supposed to do. Where are you? And I begin to question, God, where are you? What are you doing in this situation? And you know, the thing, I mean, sometimes when you're overwhelmed by these things are on your mind constantly to where you don't even know what to do. You can't even function. It just, your body won't let you. You refuse to do anything. And you know, this is where we find Asaph. You know, as I was studying, I tried to find out exactly what was bothering Asaph. And out of all the commentators I'd ever read, it's a pretty generic answer. Basically, we don't know. And I was like, well, this is helpful. And so as I began to, you know, just read it, and some commentator said, well, you know, maybe it could have been, you know, a disease or something, some kind of sickness that he's going through. But on the other hand, some of the other commentators said, well, it could have been that, but it also could have been, you know, something that was going on in that society with the government or, you know, something maybe within himself that he's just deeply troubled about. And so really, it just comes down to he was troubled. He was burdened about something. Something was overwhelming him to the point where he just really couldn't function. But I don't think that the point of this text is that Asaph was overwhelmed by something. I really think the point of the main point of this passage is, you know, yes, he was overwhelmed by something, but what did he do in order to overcome that state of being overwhelmed? That's really what we're going to focus on tonight. So just know that Asaph, something's bothering this man, but there is a way that he overcame it. And that's really what we're going to look at. So the question that I want to ask is, you know, how can Asaph overcome the spirit of being overwhelmed? And, you know, I hope to be able to answer that as we go through this passage, you know, go through each verse and then by the end be able to answer that question. But ultimately, I want to apply it to our lives. You know, how can we, if we're going through something that is overwhelming us, how can we overcome that spirit of being overwhelmed? First thing, you know, I want you to look in verse 1 with me. It says, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice. It's like, well, Trevor, you already answered your question. He cried unto God, so let's just pack up and leave. Nah, I'm just kidding. But, you know, I believe, yes, he made the right thing, and he cried unto God, and, you know, God heard him. And so I believe that's the right thing to do. But I think the reason he's putting it in, you know, based off the study that I was doing, that I did on this passage, he said, I cried unto God there at the beginning. It's kind of like he's just retelling a story. He goes, you know, I cried unto God because this is what I was going through, or this is how I was feeling. And so this is why he said, I cried unto God. But, you know, so he did the right thing calling on the Lord because, you know, the Lord's the one who can comfort you through anything that you're going through. And he is the one that can bring us through anything. You know, the Lord heard his request. Isn't that awesome to think about? And whenever you're going through something difficult, you can cry unto God and he'll hear you. That's such a comforting thing for the Christian. But too many of us, though, as too many times we as Christians, we use God only in emergencies whenever we are going through those tough times. The only thing I can think of is that thing that Miss Terry used to have on her desk, the staples, that was easy button. I think I saw it on your desk still. You know, that was easy. The only thing I can think of that kind of illustrates that is, you know, we use God as kind of like that. You know, God, I need you now. Or God, I'm going through some kind of difficult time. Lord, I need you. Even though I don't really ever spend time with you, but Lord, I'm going through something difficult and I'm your child, so help me now, help me now. And that's the only time we ever cry out to God. Friends, God does not want us just to cry out to him in our times of trouble, even though he will hear us, as the Bible says. But God wants us to be with him and cry unto him in any aspect of our life. So don't just cry unto him in the bad times, because God deserves our full attention at all times. So why exactly was Asaph crying out to God? Like I said, we don't know exactly what he was crying out to God, but in verse 2 and 3, I want you to look with me. It says, in the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah, let's think about this. In the day of his trouble, he sought the Lord. You know, nothing could bring comfort to this man's soul. So whatever it is, it must have been something big, because even though we don't know what it is, something must have really been troubling Asaph, because it's got to the point where his soul refused to be comforted. Have you ever been there where, you know, you try this and that to just comfort your soul because you're just deeply troubled by something, but you just can't find it. And so you just try different means to just soothe that pain, but nothing works. And so you just kind of get turned off, you know, well, if nothing's going to work, you know, and my soul refuses to be comforted, I'm not going to, nothing's going to work. So, but then the next thing it says, I remember God. It's like, well, shouldn't that make you feel better? It says, but then I was troubled. Well, what's that mean? Well, see, he cried out to God. I mean, he remembered God after his soul was already, he refused to be comforted. So really, it's like null and void. Even though he thought on God, it just troubled him even the more just because his soul had refused to be comforted. So he remembered God like almost like it was too late. I mean, because his soul refused to be comforted. So therefore, he was troubled even more. You know, in verse 4, it says, "Thou holdest mine eyes waking." What does that mean? He couldn't sleep. He was overwhelmed to the point that he couldn't do anything. Have you ever been there where you're just so overwhelmed? And I'm going through all these verses just to kind of show you the progression of things that is really bothering him. You know the feelings that he's feeling at this time. He's so overwhelmed by whatever it is that he can't even sleep. Have you ever done that? I know in college, you know, I'll be stressed out about something, you know, different things that are taking place maybe at work. And then plus you throw on all the study and all the classes and stuff. I mean, you just get overwhelmed sometimes. And I'll just lay there in bed sometimes and I'll just toss and turn by different situations. And I just lose sleep. And this is where Asaph is. He's losing sleep over whatever's bothering him. And it's just really, he's losing function. He can't do anything because this is so overwhelming. It's on his mind all the time. So he begins to consider the days of old. And I believe that's, you know, I think he's doing right there by considering, you know, he wants to see, you know, was God helping me in the past whenever I was going through something difficult? Was he there? So he's trying to remember, you know, what it was like whenever he wasn't so overwhelmed by the situation. He's like, oh, there was joy there. Where is it now? What's going on here? So he begins to examine some of his brief history of, you know, maybe God helped me out through this situation. Would he help me out here? And then he begins to examine the exact wording. It says, the years of ancient times. He began to not only examine his brief history of himself, but he began to examine the times of maybe his ancestors or different other people that he had been under. I mean, so he was with David, and so he could see how David worked in David, how God worked in David's life through this situation, and brought him out on the end. So maybe he could look through his life and say, well, if he was there for David, would he be there for me too? So he began to examine that, and his soul just began to just make diligent search. And if you're honest with yourself, you're just like Asaph, where you begin to ask these questions in verses 7 through 9. Look with me. Some of the questions that he asks. It says, will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Does this promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? So Asaph, he's asking all these questions. His soul is diligently searching. He's like, Lord, what are you doing? He's so overwhelmed to the point, he's like, God, what are you doing in my life? I mean, I know your way is perfect, but I just don't understand. Where are you? And he's asking these questions, and that phrase, clean gone forever, it says, mercy clean gone forever. That phrase, clean gone, means like, is it failed utterly? Is it failed? Lord, has your mercy failed? Have I exhausted it so much that you don't show me anymore? I mean, his heart is crying out to God. Where are you? What are you doing, God, in this situation? Where's your mercy? Where's your grace? Do you not remember? I'm Asaph. I'm your son. I'm one of the lead members of the choir in David's choir. I mean, I'm Asaph. Where's your mercy? So he's crying out to God. And he's just, have you ever been there where you're just so overwhelmed and you just cry out to God, where are you? Where's your mercy? Where's your grace? You've showed it to me before. Why I just don't feel it anymore. And you just began to focus on those aspects of your life because you're just so bogged down by this, whatever's bothering you. You know, but one thing he did realize, I want you to notice in verse number 10. And I said, this is my infirmity. This is my weakness. So Asaph began to realize that this was his weakness. And, you know, if you'll admit it, that's your weakness too. You begin to just think about, you know, God, you forgot about me. Hello, you forgot about me. I'm your son. Why did you forget about me? And I'm right here. Where's your grace and mercy? Lord, where are you? Where are you in my life? Why are you having me go through this? I just don't understand. And if you'll be honest, you'll admit to yourself that you do that same thing too. Excuse me. You know, but he had to make a self-conscious choice. And if you'll look with me in the end of that verse, it says, and I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I remember thy wonders of old. You know, he said, you know, I may not know, and the way I'm feeling right now is, you know, God, where's your grace and where's your mercy? But, you know, I will choose to remember what you've done in my life already. He said, I may have already been going through some difficult situation in my life over here, but I know because of your grace and mercy that you have showed me, and all the things you've done in my life in the past and the situations you've helped me, you will help me right over here too. Isn't that great that you can look back and see what God's done in your life? I know this past semester, at the beginning, I was just feeling I was feeling overwhelmed. At the beginning of the semester, of course, you know, my parents decided to move off to Texas, and I'm used to having them an hour and a half away here in Ponca, and I've never really struggled, you know, homesick, really. I've been fine with it, but it's like, man, I want to go home. Yes, this is still home, but it's different, you know, and it's like my family's not here. It was different. At first, I was like, man, I don't like this, and it's like, how dare they just go off and leave me? But, you know, I was feeling overwhelmed just by that and just different situations at school with work. I was facing some decisions at work and then, like, a relationship and then friendships and all these things. And then school, I get to school, and so I have some great classes with homiletics and then pastoral preparation. I'm learning how to just basically be in the ministry. And they're great classes. But then I look at the workload, and I'm like, man, I don't know about that. That's a lot of stuff. And then I tried out for a music group, and Brian down here, he made Witness, one of the music groups. But that's one of the worst waiting processes I've ever had to go through. And I was like, this is plumb ridiculous. And I was like, I've never come so close to where I just wanted to throw in the towel and go home. I was like, is it even worth it? I just wanted to go home. And, you know, praise the Lord, the Lord really had me in my devos in this passage for during that time, because that one morning I woke up and I read this passage and the Lord smote my heart. It's so good that whenever you need something, the Lord shows it to you in your devotion. That's why it's so important to be plugged into His Word, because He will show you what you need to be shown. And He showed me this passage, and I mean, it smote my heart. And I had to make a choice. Am I going to focus on my situation that I'm in right now? And Lord, where are you at? Why am I going through this situation? Or am I going to focus on what He's done for me in the past? He's brought me through countless situations. Why am I to think that He won't bring me through this situation? And maybe you're here tonight and you're bogged down by something. You know, maybe you're here and you know, with the young people, you know, with school, maybe you're just bogged down. You know, it's like, it's hard to live the Christian life, you know, at Pohai. You know, I've been there. It's hard. But you know what? God's got you there for a reason. In verse 13, it says, Thy way, O Lord, is in the sanctuary. Lord, Your way is perfect. And just like I had to make that self-conscious choice, you know, Lord, I will remember, because God's got me there at Heartland Baptist Bible College for a reason. And His way is in the sanctuary. His way is holy and perfect. And God's got you at Pohai, not only because you have to graduate and, you know, go to high school, but He's got you there for a reason, to be a witness. To be a witness. And maybe you're getting some classes that's like, man, surprisingly, some of these classes might be tough. And you're just like, man, I don't know if I can do this anymore. Stick to it. Don't throw in the towel, because God's got you there for a reason. Who serves so great a God as our God? And so maybe you're here tonight, maybe you're struggling with some like kind of marital problems, or, you know, you lost your job or you can't find a job. You know, my sophomore year, I was having trouble finding a job, but you know, the Lord provided, and the Lord will provide for you too. And maybe you're here and you're just going through a difficult time, maybe with your kids or something just in your soul, that you're just some kind of character, then you're like, man, I don't like that. And you're overwhelmed. You don't even know what to do. And you're just crying out to God, God, where are you? What are you doing? But remember, God's way is in the sanctuary. His way is holy. And everything that comes is of God. And it's perfect and it's holy. And His way is right. And if He brought you through this situation, He'll bring you through this one too. And that's one thing you just got to remember, is that God is righteous and He is holy and everything is of God. And whenever He brings you through situations in the past, I mean, He gives us countless illustrations throughout the entire Bible. And later on in this passage, it talks about, you know, the God that we serve is the God that makes the lightnings light in the sky, and the God that makes the thunder roll. That's the God that we serve, the God that created this world, the Almighty God. We serve Him. So we serve the most powerful God, and this God that worked through different people in the Bible, like the Apostle Paul and all the situations that he faced throughout the Bible and through his time, and maybe Joseph and Jacob and all these other men of the Bible who just faced various circumstances. God worked in their life and brought them from all the situations that they were in and brought them through them just fine, just fine. So if God worked through their lives, what makes you think God won't work through your life? We serve a God that will bring us through every situation and bring us out on the end for His glory. We serve an amazing God, and please don't ever forget that. And, you know, the greatest thing that we can ever remember is the thing that God did for us on Calvary. If you're feeling bogged down because, you know, man, where are you, God? Just remember one thing. Remember the cross. Remember what Christ did for you. Christ died if it would have not been for Him dying on the cross, where would you be today? You would still be lost over here in this overwhelming state of sin. But He came to this earth, He died on the cross, and now you're born again and you're on your way to heaven. If anything, you can look back on that and say, God's been good. He's brought me through this situation. If anything, if I've never gone through anything difficult in my life, you were lost. Let me remind you of that. You were lost on your way to hell, but God saved you. So you can look back on that and say, God's been good. He brought me through this. He'll bring me through this too. So just remember that as you're going through any difficult situation that you may be going through. And so, but the question that I asked there at the beginning, and man, time flies. So how could Asaph overcome his overwhelmed spirit? Here's the answer. By choosing to remember what the Lord had already done in his life. That's the main part of this. That's what this passage is talking about. Not that Asaph, yes, he did struggle with something, but that's not what the passage is talking about. It's talking about wanting us to really realize, you know, what God did in his life. He remembered, God's done this in my life. He'll help me through this too. And so let me encourage you, you know, because let's apply this to us. You know, what if you're going through something difficult? I mean, you're just so overwhelmed. I mean, it's totally just weighing you down to where you can't even do anything. I mean, you just can't function. You're losing sleep. I mean, that's always on your mind. And your soul refuses to be comforted. What do? You remember what God's done for you already. Because chances are, this isn't the first time you've ever gone through something that's overwhelmed you. So you can look back and say, you know what, God, he helped me through this. I was so overwhelmed, and he brought me through it. He'll bring me through this one too. So just, and you know, in closing, we're just about done. And just for some application tonight, you know, first off, if you're not saved, and you can't even look back at the cross, maybe you're still in that overwhelmed state of sin, and you need to get out of it. You need to be able to get out of it. You know what? And just like Pastor Priest this morning about, you know, just you need to call on the Lord. It's not just some experience. It's something that, I mean, you realize you're a sinner and you need the Lord and you can't do anything about it. So I just pray that tonight, you know, for the invitation, you just come forward and you just, Lord, I need you. I need you to save my soul. I can't do it on my own. And it's nothing that I could do in my power and strength. It's only of you. And when the Lord will save you. The Lord will save you. And there's going to be men down here, and I pray that you'll just come forward and just accept him. Accept this free gift of salvation. So we looked at tonight, you know, just how Asaph can overcome this overwhelmed spirit that he's in. And it's by remembering what the Lord's done. You can do that too. And I just pray that, I didn't call Pastor and say, Pastor, what's some things that the church is going through? I didn't. I just know that the Lord brought this to he smote my heart when I read this. And I mean, the Lord's like, Trevor, you need to preach this. And I don't know if it spoke to anybody, but I know reading through this, it smote my heart. And the Lord's just been so good to me. And I know he's been good to his people. And I just pray that this was a blessing to you and just that you can take this and apply it in the way that, you know, if you're going through something that's overwhelming your spirit to where you can't do anything. Just remember, the Lord's done so much for you already. He'll bring you through this situation too. So let's pray. Lord, just come to you now, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, for this, once again, this opportunity, Lord, just to preach your word, Lord. It's just, Lord, you just smote my heart, Lord, when I first read this, God. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that we'll just take this message, Lord, and just apply it, Lord. Just realize, God, you've been good. You've been good to our lives and to, Lord, just saving us, Lord. I just pray, Lord, if there's someone here tonight that's not saved, Lord, that tonight will be the night that they call on you to save their souls, Lord. Just be with this invitation in your prayer. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. If you have opportunity to visit Ponca City, we invite you to be present in our worship services. We're located just 1 mile north of the city at the intersection of Highway 77 and Coleman Road. We'd like a chance to say welcome in person. But until that time, we wish you God's blessings, we wish you a great week, and we thank you again for listening.